This is Fresh Air. Somehow, in the middle of medical school, Ethan Kanan managed to write a collection of short stories, which was published to much critical acclaim. Emperor of the Air came out 3 years ago when Kanan was just 27 years old. But literary success and the publication of a new novel did not lure Kanan away from medical school. He began his fourth year this fall. His new novel, Blue River, is about two brothers who on the surface appear to be polar opposites. Edward is a successful ophthalmologist. Lawrence, the older brother, is a drifter. The book begins when Lawrence arrives at Edward's doorstep after a long absence. This meeting unearths past secrets and memories that shatters Edward's illusions about himself. I asked Ethan Kanan to read from the beginning of Blue River.
On a Sunday morning in the June of my 31st year, I open the front door of our house looking for the newspaper and find a man standing out there, stoop-shouldered, bent, blotch-skinned, his hair and beard tangled, staring with the big, wet eyes of an animal. Some kind of bum, I think, stepping back, half-shutting the door, until I recognize him. He stands on our porch, not moving. Not moving, I stand inside. In his gloved hand, he holds the paper I have come out to find, bright from the morning sun. I have to squint, and he, though he faces the dark inside our house, squints back. Because I cannot think of what else to do, I reach to take the newspaper, which he hands to me. This is something, at least, but still, he does not step inside. We have seen each other only once in 15 years, but this is no product of coincidence, God forgive us. And what I think in that moment is that we both know this. I motion him in.
You seem to be, as a writer, very tuned in to the kind of hurts in a family, the secrets, the darker side of families. Does that surprise you?
In a sense, because my family was a pretty good family growing up. I mean, every family will screw you up in one way or another. as I said before, I think the pleasure of being a writer is that you can indulge the bad, and you can, in a sense, exorcise it by writing about it and by thinking about it a lot.
Do you have a kind of barometer, though, for this sort of dark side of families? Does that really sort of where your interest goes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love it. I work in the hospital a lot, and, you work in the emergency room, and I've worked in psychiatric emergency rooms, and the things the human mind is capable of are just unimaginable. And I'm fascinated by the evil and the delusion that you see in a big city emergency room.
Mm-hmm. And
the devil is always more interesting than the angel, as anybody who knows Renaissance painting will tell you.
This idea, then, of trying to understand these two brothers, is that something that really literally comes from the sort of writing part of you and the medical part of you?
Yeah, I think in some ways they converge. I think that the sort of embrace of evil that I have and like is because I think having studied evolution, having studied biology, I really don't see it as evil. I see it in some ways as the natural order.
People have to work to be good, you mean?
The chicken will eat all the corn in the hen house if nobody else, no other chicken is around. It's very shaky whether there's such a thing as a benevolence gene, that genetics is programmed for the self and for self-survival. And so it's not horrifying for me to talk about selfishness because it seems natural order. That's where medicine comes into it. On the other hand, as a writer, one thinks a lot about morality and faith and kindness and generosity. And I think that in some ways, that's an advantage that I can look at both sides with sort of an even hand. I'm not trying to avoid the so-called darker side. Mm-hmm.
I read a quote. I think this is when you and your collection of short stories came out that you sang. This is talking about your mother, and both your parents are. I guess your father's a violinist, and mm-hmm. your mother's a
an artist of of some sort, and you said you're probably the only Jew whose mother has ever encouraged not to go to medical school.
Yeah, those quotes, they tend to dog you.
That's a great quote. Are you going to run from that?
No, actually, it's the truth. Yeah, it's true. I was the only Jewish kid who was encouraged not to go to medical school.
Why didn't they encourage you?
My mother didn't. I think she always wanted me to be an opera singer, which is sort of funny.
Really? Can you sing?
No. But she thought it might develop. I can hold a spear. She was always a dreamer and an artistic soul. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough, my father, who was a musician, and he wanted me to get a practical job. And I think he was really saying that I didn't have very much talent. Might have been a diplomatic way of saying that.
Well, what was practical in his mind? What would be a practical job?
Oh, medicine, for example, was a very practical job. Mm-hmm. Anything that, a plumber, doctor, anything that that is going to be there in good times and bad times. You know, that's one of the struggles of writing, especially in comparison to medicine, is I've got to say, you have to think, is what I'm doing any good for anybody? I can sometimes think and say, yes, writing actually in some ways does more good than medicine, at least good for more people than being a doctor. But that's a tenuous concept to really base your life on. I mean, I think it's true, and I can argue that, and enough people do also come up to me and tell me that after readings and things. But that's tough when someone has come in with a heart attack or bleeding to death, and you put an IV in and save him from dying. That's pretty easy to understand why you do that. So that's sort of one of the conflicts in my life.
I think that's a question that many people ask themselves. I mean, if is what I'm doing actually going to make some difference in the world? I mean, will someone remember that I've been here?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's I think that's extremely important in the long run. I think it's of small importance day to day, but I think that adds and adds. Mm. In fact, the nicest thing about medicine is that in almost every circumstance, when you deal with your, I guess, so-called client or patient, there's sort of an implicit assumption that everything that's going on between you is for the good of the patient. And there are not many other jobs where everybody you deal with is in a benevolent way, certainly not law.
Although I think there are some that would argue with you that that it's not always such a benevolent kind of relationship.
Absolutely. That argument is very strong.
Yeah.
But there is sort of at the foundation of the profession this idea that you are there to do good and to help people. The realities of working in a big city hospital make it adversarial a lot.
Yeah.
There's just no other way to do it. There's a 14-hour waiting list in the emergency room in a lot of big city hospitals right now. People are trying to get in. People are trying to get in to get drugs. People are faking things. And you've got to sort of sort this out, and it's a very tough job. And people have this idea that doctors or psychiatrists specifically are mind readers. And they're not. They're sort of very well trained. But at some point, the big decision a doctor has to make is, is this person sick?
My guest is writer Ethan Kanan. His new novel is called Blue River. More after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Writer Ethan Kanan is my guest.
Are you interested in psychiatry?
Yeah, I am interested in psychiatry. That and neurology, and also like emergency medicine. So those three things mix.
There's something then about the, for lack of a better word, the human drama then.
Oh, yeah. It's fascinating. And especially with crazy people. Mm-hmm. Especially for a writer, because there's something about certain types of florid psychosis that is verbal genius. Certain manics, certain schizophrenics seem to have a grotesquely enlarged language center or something, or some fluency or lack of an internal editor that is just brilliance and poetry. And I have sat stunned as these patients will just sort of spill out this inventive, fantastic poetry without pausing, without taking a breath. And it's not planned, it's not rehearsed. You can ask them a question leading down a different path, and it comes out just as fluently. It's just stunning. It's sort of the way writing is at its very, very best when you're in some sort of dreamy state the way that sort of right before sleep you can produce sort of a very fluent monologue and in some way step back from it and watch it and be aware that it's very fluent and amazing. And this, but for these people, it happens while they're awake.
And do you find that you can carry on a conversation with someone like that who is in this, who's in their own sort of reality? Because I think some people can step into that world and converse with them, and some...
I've never been able to. I think a lot of it is it's hard to follow. It's certainly hard to interrupt, especially with certain kinds of psychosis.
Yeah.
But it's nonetheless stunning. I mean, one of the characteristics of, say, schizophrenic speech, even the words used to describe schizophrenic speech, like word salad, you know, it was such a beautiful word and such sort of a deep, wonderful image that a sane person probably couldn't have invented, although I imagine a sane person did invent that.
Yeah.
But I imagine that was heard. I imagine the psychotic person first said that.
Do you find yourself then sort of consciously paying attention to this? I mean, thinking that somehow this stream of consciousness, that their world can somehow get into your imagination.
Yeah, it's more as though that's what I strive for in a way. And you know, a writer, almost all writers I know have this experience of saying that people, they're asked where do their characters come from, and almost all writers I know will say, "Oh, they're voices in my head."
Yeah, right.
And that, of course, is the hallmark of psychosis, is hearing voices. And I think in some ways, a writer is the second step on this continuum, where a crazy person is the third, and the writer somehow is able to turn it off and go make coffee and pay his bills, and a crazy person is not. And I know plenty of writers, especially poets, who move in and out of craziness.
Well, that reminds me of something that Ruth Stone, who's a poet, said to me, and this was actually when she was very little. She said she could feel a poem coming towards her. She said it was as if it was a freight train just barreling, you know, down the street towards her, and she literally had to drop what she was doing and wait for it.
Amazing, amazing. And I feel some of that. I would say mine's not a freight train. I'd say mine's maybe a small import.
Hyundai.
Yeah, Hyundai coming at me. And one of the characteristics of the so-called healthy mind, another thing you learn in neurology, is the ability to shift set, is what it's called. You can, when you want, think about what you want, no matter what's going on around you. Your mind can wander. You can dream. Of course, a lot of people try to stop their daydreams, not realizing that it's sort of the hallmark of a healthy, functioning mind. And I think maybe what she's talking about is this somewhere on the continuum of not being able to shift set, of hearing those voices. Luckily, she's able to, in the end, pay her rent. But it's a horribly frightening thing. Imagine that, not being able to control what you think about.
Ethan Kanen is my guest, and he is a writer and also a medical student, and is finishing his fourth year at Harvard Medical School. Did you show an aptitude for math and science? I mean, your father wanted you to take something practical to be a physician.
Yeah, I wanted to be a mathematician. I was an engineering major for the first 3 years of college. I thought all this other stuff was weak-minded, uninteresting. And to me, it was then. And I can't imagine what I saw in the other stuff now. No, I still love all that stuff, and I still love, you know, brain teasers and things like that. But to spend one's life, I can't imagine anything more interesting than human character.
Well, how then did you then make this switch to writing? I mean, where did writing become more compelling to you?
To tell you the truth, I took a creative writing class in my junior year in college, sort of on a lark, and liked it. And
Surprised yourself then?
Yeah, wrote a horrible story and then wrote a pretty good story, and got some support for it. The teacher helped me a lot, and that was that. And I published that story, and then I had to write another one. And you know, once you get something published, it is such a thrill that you'll do anything to do it again. And and since then it has grown. Actually, it's what Saul Bellow says: a writer is a reader moved to emulation, is something I believe in. And I'm so moved, I think, when I read, or when I read something good, that I want to do that. I hate to write, but I feel I cannot not do it.
You mean that you hate to write?
Oh yeah, I hate it.
Because it's hard, right?
Oh, yeah, it's terribly hard. There are the moments I like. It's very similar to jogging, and it's very hard to start. And if as soon as you get that so-called endorphin rush that everybody talks
that
about.
Elusive endorphin.
That elusive endorphin rush that I've heard about, haven't yet found. No, actually, I have found it a couple of times in my probably dozen times I've jogged. Then it's pleasurable, but it's so painful up to that point. And that occurs, that's maybe 5 minutes a day. But other than that, no, I hate it.
Well,
it's horrible.
Is that why you went to medical school thinking this is the writer's life is just too damn difficult?
That's a lot of why I did it. The writer's life is just too difficult. And in many ways, it's the easiest life imaginable because you can wear what you want, you can wake up what you want, when you want. But knowing both those worlds, knowing the opposite world, when you got to be there at 4:30 in the morning in the hospital and work all night, I know that's an easier life, actually.
Do you think people make too much of a big deal about the fact that you're a writer and soon to be physician as well?
I'm asked about it fairly often.
Yeah.
I don't think medicine is a particularly fictional field. Maybe people often ask me if I'll write about medicine. And for some reason, I don't want to. I think it's too unsubtle. Mm-hmm. I think life and death is too easy. And it's the smaller decisions and the smaller betrayals that are a lot more interesting.
Writer and medical student Ethan Kanan. His new novel is called Blue River. This is Fresh Air.